Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com. A broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I am Father Thomas Loya, your host. I hope you are on fire with the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit came down in the form of fiery tongues, as I'm sure you've heard when you've gone to church today, to the Mass, to the liturgy. And also, it is the time when the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles through those flames of fire and zeal, inspired them to speak in tongues, to proclaim the good news of Christ to everyone in their own language. And people were amazed at this. Well, you know the story. You know what happened. Well, today is the day, Pentecost Sunday. This is the final effort, the final segment of God's plan of salvation for us. The last thing that Jesus Christ had to do. He had to ascend, which he did a few days ago. He had to ascend to heaven so he could send the third person of the Holy Spirit down upon the apostles to enliven the church as the Holy Spirit does to this day. It enlivens us individually, especially if we are open to the Holy Spirit. So this is just a marvelous day. It's a day I get very excited about, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, which means it's a descent of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And that happens through baptism and confirmation, which is then completed in the Eucharist, those three sacraments of initiation into the church. On this Pentecost Sunday, it all started then with that descent of the Holy Spirit. You see, what happens in the Scripture, as I keep saying all the time, I say it to my people at my parish from the pulpit all the time, what we read about in the Scripture is not a history lesson. It is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago that we're acknowledging, and then we move on. That wasn't that nice. We'll come back next Sunday for another story. It is our story. It is about us. The Bible is a mirror about us. It's mirroring us. We are receiving the Holy Spirit. We receive it at baptism and chrismation, and that is enlivened every time we receive the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. It is enlivened in us every time we make a choice for our baptismal promise and against evil, when we die to self and rise to our real self, rise to a commitment ever deeper with Christ. That is revisiting our baptism. That is revisiting what happened in that upper room to the apostles on Pentecost Sunday, that first Pentecost Sunday. In the Byzantine Church, we are actually a very charismatic church. Now, just a little bit of background on that. The charismatic movement that was particularly big back in the 60s and 70s, whatever reason, the Holy Spirit was moving in that way. Back at that time, many people were becoming what we call charismatic Catholics or charismatic Christians, having sensed a special stirring of the Holy Spirit within them, some people even speaking in tongues, like we read about in the scripture. Well, the charismatic movement, as we know it, that was big, very, very big back then in the 60s and 70s, was started actually in the Church of Armenia, but it primarily worked within the Western lung of the church, probably because the Holy Spirit deemed that that was necessary to enliven that part of the church in that way. So many people became what we call charismatic. In other words, very spirit-filled, very alive, very full of joy and prayer, ecstatic prayer, and sometimes, as I mentioned, even speaking in tongues. Well, the Eastern churches are by nature charismatic, which is probably why the charismatic movement as a movement didn't happen in the Eastern churches in the same way that it happened in the Latin Rite church. Although it started in an Eastern church, the Armenian church, it didn't unfold in the same way as it did in the Latin Rite church. And probably because that kind of action in that same way was not maybe needed, because the Eastern churches were what I'm going to call naturally charismatic. Now, what does that mean? It means very spirit-driven. It means a great consciousness, an expression of the Holy Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We begin all of our liturgical prayer services with a prayer and invocation to the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, who everywhere present and filling all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and dwell within us. Cleanse us of all stain and save our souls, O gracious one. That's the invocation that begins all the services in the Byzantine Catholic Church, which of course is my church. And we end all of our prayers with an invocation of the Trinity. In the West, oftentimes a prayer is ended by saying, we ask this in Jesus' name or through Jesus Christ our Lord, which of course is perfectly legitimate. But in the East, we always end our prayers with an invocation of what we might call a doxology. For you are holy, our God, we render glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen. So we begin by mentioning the Holy Spirit, and we end by mentioning the Holy Spirit. And our prayers are very spirit-driven. They're very, very poetic. They're full of words. They're usually very long and lengthy and of a very high literary character, a very sincere, deep kind of prayer that does a lot of praising of God, a lot of lavishing upon God, all that we think about Him, all that He did, all of His greatness and so on. And then we come in with the request. I call it the gimme, you know, gimme this, gimme that part of the prayer, which of course our Lord wants us to do. But we first lavish all kinds of praise upon God for all of His goodness. We do the gimme, and then we end the way we began. We end by lavishing praise on God and saying, as I mentioned, for you are holy, our God, we render glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen. During the liturgies and the services of our church, especially the Eucharistic liturgy, the style, the tone of it is very, what we might call, charismatic. In other words, the priest is chanting the chants, and it becomes almost like a dialogue between the priest and the people. The priest will chant, and the people respond also in chant. And usually this chant is very, well, it's very exuberant. Sometimes it's very solemn. It comes very much from the heart, from the indigenous chant of the Eastern Catholic churches. They all have their own indigenous chant. And it's usually very, very spirited, everybody singing, responding, and we do this throughout the entire service. So the entire service has this sound of like the Holy Spirit buzzing and flying among us as we respond with jubilance to the jubilant dialogue and statements, remarks, and invocations of the priest and the deacon. And everything is chanted, everything is sung in the Eastern Catholic liturgies, including the readings. Now, we don't sing the homily, unless, of course, I'm so moved to do so, but we do chant everything else. The only thing that we actually say in a speaking voice is the prayer that prepares us for the reception of the Eucharist. Otherwise, everything else is chanted, everything, even the readings. And it's according to the respective indigenous ancient chants of the different Eastern Catholic churches. Now, on Pentecost Sunday, we decorate our churches in the Byzantine Catholic Church with greenery. We actually go out and cut greens. And specifically, one of those trees that we would cut branches and greenery from was the linden tree, also called in the Eastern European nations as the lipa tree. For those of you who are Latin Rite Catholics and may be listening, many of you have statues in your churches. And in modern times, a lot of those statues are made from wood. They're carved out of wood. Well, most of that wood is from the lipa tree. And this tree has a very kind of what I might call buttery kind of wood to it. It's very good for sculpting. And it's a magnificent tree. We have several of them on our church property along with our prairie. But these lipa or linden trees are used in the church on Pentecost. Their branches are cut, we're brought in, and we decorate our church with greenery, other kinds of greens as well. And we wear green. I wear green vestments. It's almost like the way the Irish wear green on St. Patrick's Day. Well, the Byzantines, we wear green on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, why green? Because the Latin Rite uses red. Well, here we have an example of the very soul of this program, Light of the East, which presents the complementary riches of the church, East and West, primarily the Eastern Church. Here we have a wonderful example. The Latin Rite uses red to symbolize, of course, and make present the fiery tongues of the Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles and enlightened and enlivened them and made them wise preachers and proclaimers of the gospel. But the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the giver of life. And so in the Eastern churches, we wear green, which is a symbol or color making us mindful of life. You know, things that are green, they're growing, especially this time of year. So we wear green. So now you have the fiery tongues and life, the two aspects of the Holy Spirit represented by the two complementary lungs of the Catholic Church. That's one of my favorite examples. It's so graphic. We arrive at the same point where we're celebrating the exact same event, immersing ourselves in that event, not just celebrating, but immersing ourselves in that event and calling to mind and ratifying our own baptism and chrismation at Pentecost. Two ways arriving at the same point, those two ways being the color red and the colors of greenery. That's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing to me how beautifully the church works in its complementarity, arriving at the same point by two complementary expressions, just like the human race, like a marriage, man and woman, both equal in dignity, of course, but yet different, complementary, but still arriving at the same point of love and of being human. This Pentecost has a preparatory action to it and also an after action to it, as oftentimes is the case in the Eastern liturgical calendar. We're going to talk about that when we return. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion, and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church, we need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com, and then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more, which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
I'm Ann Weber from the Catholic Spirit Radio Network, and you're listening to Light of the East.
The Tabor Life Institute, which is dedicated to the formation and education in the theology of the body. To find out more about the Tabor Life Institute, you can go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. Especially if you're interested in conferences and retreats, in particular for youth, young adults, and also for those of you who speak Spanish.
That's taborlife.org.
Welcome back to Light of the East on this magnificent Feast of Pentecost. I'm Father Thomas Loyal, your host. I mentioned just before the break that this grand Feast of Pentecost in the Byzantine Catholic Church is preceded, again, it's that bell curve, that rising action, climactic moment, and then resolution. Well, we have that same thing for this feast, because the day prior to Pentecost is our fifth All Souls Saturday. That's right, we've got five of them in the Byzantine calendar. Four of them come during the Lenten season. This one is saved for just before Pentecost, because what's happening here is Pentecost is a great coming together. In a sense, it's the completion of everything. It's what everything was leading up to. That's why Jesus Christ saved it for last, in a manner of speaking. He had to ascend from earth. He did all his earthly work, descended into hell, broke the bonds of hell, rose up, brought us with him, ascended into heaven, and now he sends the Holy Spirit as the culminating moment, bringing everything together, which means those who are deceased, who have gone on into eternity, and those who are still here, and those who will come in the future. We bring all that together during this weekend of Pentecost. So the first thing we do is we pray for the souls of all those who are deceased. And in those prayers, we have many magnificent meditations on death, on the dark side of death, the sad part, the grieving part, the mystery of it, but also the joy of the resurrection. And we sing verses like this, and this is on Saturday, the fifth All Souls Saturday, the day before Pentecost. O Lord, I am the image of your glory, which is beyond description. Even though I bear the marks of transgressions, have mercy on your creature. O Master, in your compassion, cleanse me. Grant me the home I yearn for, and again, make me an inhabitant of paradise. In the beginning, you called me from nothingness and favored me with your divine image. Since I transgressed your commandments, you returned me to the earth from which I was taken. Restore me to your likeness, that my original beauty may be renewed in me. Those are just a few of the profound verses written by St. John Damascene in the funeral service, but also on the services of the All Souls Saturdays in the Byzantine liturgical calendar. Our funeral services are very rich and deep. There's actually several of them that go on for a deceased person. And basically, they were one continuous service that went through the entire night. We tend to break it up nowadays, but they're really deep and rich in their meditation. They're like meditations on death and resurrection, the whole mystery of all that. And in that way, it's actually a very consoling, therapeutic kind of service. It takes you through the whole rhythm, you know, all of your emotions and feelings, from death to nostalgia to sentiment to wonderment to grief to fear, but also to faith and resurrection. That's what happens the day before Pentecost. Now, Pentecost comes, and we have, for the first time since the Lenten season, kneeling. See, in the Eastern churches, we don't kneel very much. Standing is, well, it's our posture of attentiveness. And most of the time, we're trying to be attentive to our Lord. It's a posture of vigilance. It's a posture of reverence, of like, you know, just like a soldier, at attention, or the judge walks in the room in a courtroom, all rise. So that standing erect is a sign for us of reverence, of willingness to worship, to honor the person or being in whose presence we are. And that is, of course, in church, Almighty God. We kneel, though, on Pentecost Sunday because we're going to be receiving again the Holy Spirit. I mean, we received it already at baptism and chrismation, but it's a re-entry into that first reception of the Holy Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit. We say the prayer to the Holy Spirit, the invocation of the Holy Spirit. The church is filled with greenery. We're wearing green. The priest is wearing green vestments. And we pray to the Holy Spirit. It's a very rich liturgy, lots of biblical quotes, a lot of that charismatic kind of singing. But then something interesting happens on Sunday evening. On Sunday evening, we kneel again and we do this special litany in preparation for three prayers of kneeling, three lengthy, very comprehensive, very beautiful prayers of kneeling, in which we're calling down the Holy Spirit upon ourselves. But first, we do this litany. We say, For those who bow their knees and hearts before the Lord, let us pray to the Lord. That the Holy Spirit may strengthen us in the performance of what pleases Him, let us pray to the Lord. And after each litany, the people respond in that charismatic way, that sort of dialogue way, Lord, have mercy. And they do it in a chant. That the Holy Spirit may send down upon us the riches of His mercy, that He may accept the bending of our knees as incense before Him. Let us pray to the Lord. For all those who need His help, let us pray to the Lord. And so on. A special litany, and then comes the prayers of kneeling. Now, they're too lengthy for me to recite to in this program right now, but I'll just give you a few sections of them so you get the sense of them. Hear us on whatever day we call upon you, for you alone are most merciful and the lover of mankind. However, especially hear us on this present day of Pentecost, in which, after our Lord Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven and was seated at your right hand, O God and Father, He sent down the Holy Spirit upon His holy disciples and apostles. The Holy Spirit came upon each of them, and filling all of them with His inexhaustible grace, they spoke of your grandeur in various tongues, and they prophesied. O Lord, most pure, incorruptible, without beginning, invisible, incomprehensible, unsearchable, unchangeable, unsurpassable, immeasurable, and forbearing. Now, I want you to notice something, what I just read. That was the beginning of the first prayer of kneeling. Notice how we say this. We lavish these descriptions on Christ, but we do so in the negative. Now, this gives you a great insight into the Eastern Christian spirituality. It's very what we call apophatic. In other words, we acknowledge God by saying what He is not. Notice these words. They're all negations. He's incorruptible, without beginning, invisible, incomprehensible, unsearchable, unchangeable, unsurpassable, immeasurable, and they go on and on. Notice they're all what God is not. It's a way of affirming by negation, because what we're saying, and this is the charismatic dimension of the Eastern Church, is another example of it. We use a lot of words because we're groping to find yet another description that might satisfy what we know or believe God to be. And yet when we come up with a word, no matter what it is, how rich it is, it's insufficient because God is beyond all categories. His greatness is beyond anything that we can come up with as description. So we find that the best way to describe God, to express what we do know of God, is by a negation. So that no matter what we say about Him, He's always greater than that. So you see, it's sort of an affirmation by a negation. And that is very much how we pray in the Eastern churches, especially as we address God. So these prayers of kneeling, there are three of them, are lengthy, rich, and beautiful, and very, very typical of Eastern prayer. Now that we've celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have commemorated and prayed and aligned ourselves spiritually through the liturgy of prayer with our deceased relatives and friends, all that have come before us and have gone on to the next life. We aligned ourselves with that. On the next day, we have Pentecost Monday, and we will have the following Sunday, All Saints. In other words, we have commemorated all of the deceased. We will then commemorate and align ourselves through the liturgy with all of the saints. You see how, as I mentioned earlier, how Pentecost and the way it's celebrated in the Byzantine Church is a culmination, a bringing together of everything, the final piece. All things are now united and come together. Deceased members of our families, the saints, and ourselves as well, still here on earth, in need of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what do we need the Holy Spirit for? Well, the Holy Spirit animates, as we say, it's the giver of life. It animates our actions, our thoughts, our breath, everything. There are, as I'm sure you know, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this list comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the Bible, chapter 11. Verses 1 to 2. These seven gifts which we receive at baptism and chrismation are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. My favorite of those seven is, if you're supposed to have a favorite, but is fear of the Lord, the last one. Because that to me covers everything. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean psychological fear. It means a kind of a reverential awe. In fact, we say that before we receive Holy Communion. the deacon actually raises the chalice with the consecrated bread and wine and says, approach with the fear of God and with faith, meaning understand the awesomeness of what you're about to approach and to receive. Then there are 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which of course come from living the gifts of the Holy Spirit, being animated by the gifts. Those 12 fruits come from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. Charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. This is a most marvelous week of Pentecost, a most marvelous feast day. I hope you are enjoying it and being animated, enlivened by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Features and Programs tab and on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
News from around the world as it happens. Religious liberty, immigration, prayer, plus daily reports from the White House, Capitol Hill, and Rome. Get the Catholic news perspective on the things that impact your life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled WILL-COOK Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.